Welcome to the Soft Tattooed Millionaires Podcast, the podcast cornering the market on all your MLS fan fiction needs. I am joined by my brother Jack, as
Hello.
Always.
Hello.
With that ignominious beginning. How you doing, Jack?
I'm really good. Yeah, we recorded a podcast earlier in the week, and then
such a good podcast.
Yeah, it was really good. maybe it was better in post because it just recorded your end of the audio on both tracks. I messed something up. I don't know what happened.
So in other words, we're late with this podcast a little bit, and much like Hemingway's fabled briefcase full of short stories that got lost on a Paris train, our genius will never be known to the world.
Yeah. Okay.
So let's talk about let's move on from that incredible podcast which we've lost forever. Talk some MLS news. Mm-hmm. So there's been a bunch of signings and a bunch of rumors and things going on in American soccer. Walk us through some of the interesting stuff you saw this week.
Yeah, well, I mean, by now everybody knows that Nashville is in, but I think the real news to me is that everyone is waiting to see what the MLS is going to announce. I think everyone's expecting a twist. Either they're going to allow an extra team in the league or who knows.
And when you say that everyone is expecting a twist,
yeah,
you mean like a last twist of the knife kind of thing from MLS?
Yeah, everything that MLS does right now is just a twist of the knife.
Not so much a like exciting, reveal as more of a,
Man, I have so many crackpot theories at this point. My latest one was, I was thinking, Anthony Precourt is somehow going to join the ownership group of Sacramento because Sacramento doesn't have any money. He's going to move the team to Sacramento, and that way they're going to satisfy two markets, or I don't know. It's going to be, I mean, it's... And these are the kind of mad ramblings of an MLS fan.
Indeed.
Yeah. Moving on from that total bullshit, Lorin has been linked with Besiktas, Gladbach, and Leeds. So that's sort of interesting.
I from the last I've heard is that Gladbach is the forerunner potentially, but it's, I don't know. It's the kind of thing where you always see, this team's now the frontrunner, this team's now the frontrunner.
Yeah.
Kind of floating around.
Yeah, I saw Leeds this morning.
We go to Besiktas because I want like Kyle Larin to be at Besiktas because that seems like the two most Star Wars universe names would come together. almost Kyle Larin and Besiktas. Like Besiktas is definitely the name of like someone from Jabba's palace.
Yeah, totally. I think we're sort of engaging in sort of pseudo-racist Orientalism right now because
that's true.
Yeah, like Galatasaray to us also sounds like undoubtedly. Moving on, Sasha Kljestan has gone to Orlando. He replaces Kaká. Sasha Kljestan led the league in assists for the last 2 years. I like Sasha Kljestan a lot. I'll be excited to see him link up with Dom Dwyer. The Indy 11 is joining the USL. Good for them. The Olympic... This is a piece of news for me, but I don't think most people find it interesting. The Olympic Lyonnais goalkeeper coach of 14 years is coming to the Impact in order to join his buddy Remy Gard. The goalkeeper coach's name is Joel Betts. He's famous for developing Hugo Lloris, Gregory Coupe, and Anthony Lopez. And last bit of MLS news is sort of a piece of not news, but we're still waiting on Barco. Apparently Independiente has lowered their asking price, and Barco is refusing to train. And I wrote down in our notes, it feels so good to have somebody refuse to train because of a potential move to the MLS.
Exactly. Take that, Coutinho.
Yeah, I know. It feels... I just got an alert on my phone that they've agreed to fees for Coutinho moving to Barca, but who the hell cares about that? Barco is refusing to train because he wants to go to Atlanta. That's so dope.
It is awesome.
I know. He's already MLS's favorite son.
Absolutely. And I mean, not to like suddenly take the most interesting thing, which is Barco coming to MLS and take it and, you know, move to like a much less interesting topic, but to backtrack, You mentioned the Olympic Lyonnais goalkeeping coach potentially moving to the Montreal Impact, and that is the potential impact, no pun intended, of these kind of great coaches coming to MLS with Tata Martino and people like this, like just seeing a potentially better youth development, regardless of where that player is from, and better better ability to attract young players to the MLS. So it's really exciting to see some of that play out in Barco, but then also just potentially that groundwork being laid at other clubs.
Yeah. Although I did read a pretty good article about how Remy Gard needs to hire a director of football and he's probably in over his head in the MLS, but we'll see. I still have hope. Remy Guardiola. Yeah.
So, I mean, what have you watched any clips from Barco playing, and do you have any thoughts about him as a player?
This is crazy, but no, I haven't. I haven't been thinking about it. I've just been all about the hype train, and the hype train the hype train has no logic. The hype train does not do any research, and I am on board.
It's true. I feel one of the things that trips me up as a soccer fan is that whatever rumor my teams are linked, whatever player my teams are linked to in a rumor, I watch their YouTube video and find a way to love them regardless of the quality displayed in the YouTube video and regardless of the Eurobeat soundtrack for that YouTube video. It's like, they'll fit right in. Everyone looks just totally boss on YouTube.
Yeah, it's also like I don't really value those clips very much. I'm also not a scout, so... Mm-hmm. You know, I believe what I have read on every major news source regarding Barco, and I'm excited.
So, moving on from MLS, let's talk about the other league that we want to cover a bit today.
Yeah.
Liga MX. So, Liga MX, let's get started. Jack.
Yes.
You have something interesting to say about Liga MX to all the folks in America.
Oh, do I?
Yeah, I think so.
I think we just all need to be Liga MX fans. And you can say MX, MX, doesn't matter. It's the closest good league geographically to America. There's a lot of young American talent, and it has an amazing fan culture. It's also a much bigger part of American culture than the Premier League. I was looking at some of the TV ratings for the most watched soccer games, November 21st to December 3rd, so about a month old now, but still relevant. And if you look at it, so the top four are all Liga MX, and then you have the Premier League, Liverpool, Chelsea, sixth, Arsenal, Man United, and then the next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 are all Liga MX games, and then at 14 you have another Premier League game.
Yeah, that's crazy. And we kind of like we've made that point a bunch on the podcast, just in terms of TV viewership, how it's this huge chunk of American culture that I think like sort of like the dominant sports culture on ESPN and that kind of thing doesn't pick on because that dominant culture takes place on Spanish language channels for TV. So a lot of folks miss out on that. But yes, so I'm all on board with this Liga MX. Hype train, as you call it, or basically trying to watch more of that. That's one of my goals for this year too. So tell me, if someone is completely new to Liga MX or Liga MX, what would you tell them? Where to start picking a team to watch and what they should know about the league?
Yeah, so I did a little write-up of a bunch of different teams that I have always enjoyed watching. We grew up watching Liga MX, so I'll begin with Chivas. Our favorite Liga MX team, for no reason other than that they were on TV when we were watching. And lo and behold, how many years have we been watching them? It's weird. Suddenly you can say things that like, oh, we've almost been watching Chivas for 20 years. But Chivas are a national institution. They're Mexico's most popular team. They're committed to only playing Mexican players, develops amazing youth. Champions the year before last, but then they wound up near the bottom of the table due to injuries. Anybody who needs to know just how intertwined Chivas is with Mexican culture, should look up their third kit for the upcoming season. Did you do this?
No, I have not.
It is just the Mexican...
Okay, let me look it up live on the podcast.
Okay. I mean, and if any... We have like two faithful listeners, and they have already heard us talk about how great Oswaldo Sanchez was to watch growing up. Even though he played a lot for Santos, but watching Oswaldo Sanchez play for Chivas was incredible.
And to sort of put it in lame American equivalencies, one of the reasons we ended up watching Chivas growing up is because it's kind of like watching the Red Sox Yankees. When Chivas and America play, it's on, it's just a buzz for Liga MX, so you just see so much more media attention on those teams.
Yeah, the Super Clásico.
So I'm looking at the Chivas jersey, which is pretty much the third jersey, which is basically just El Tri.
Yeah, isn't it? It is. It is just the Mexican national jersey.
Yeah.
I mean we'll put it up on Twitter. It looks good, but it is like I was on some Twitter feed for some Chivas player, and I was like, oh, it's him in the Mexico jersey. And then I did a double take, and I'm astonished that they got away with that. We should say that in the Yankees Red Sox comparison, that Chivas is probably the Red Sox and not the Yankees.
Yeah, I agree. They have something more of like, in a sense, a grittiness to them. That yeah.
America has more money as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah. The next team that I want to highlight was Monterrey. Anyone interested in the future of the U.S. men's national team will want to watch Jonathan Gonzalez. I'm sure most people know what's going on with him, with Mexico and the U.S. sort of vying for his loyalty. He's not cap-tied yet for the U.S., and this would be a huge loss. He's an 18-year-old Santa Rosa native. He was named to Liga MX starting 11 last year. Apparently, Which is crazy, yeah. Apparently, no one from the U.S. men's national team was in contact with him about the Portugal friendly, and this really pissed him off. And so I think we should all be pissed off for more reasons with the USSF. El Tri wanted to call him up at the end of the month for a friendly with, I think, Serbia? Or, I forget. But the next competitive match he could even possibly play for the United States isn't until next fall. So, watch Monterrey for the drama that surrounds Jonathan Gonzalez. They were the runners-up last season, in case you didn't know that. Just a really exciting team to watch. Pray that Jonathan Gonzalez does not go to El Tri because he is an outstanding midfielder.
And he's an outstanding midfielder. Still has a lot to learn. Yeah.
He's an outstanding prospect. Yeah.
Yeah. Fun to watch for sure.
Yeah. All right. So the next team has no logic to why I find them likable. In fact, the more I read about their owner, the less likable they are. It's Tijuana. I don't know why, but they have fascinated me ever since they began their life 10 years ago. Their owner was once the mayor of Tijuana, who left his post after failing to reduce crime. He is the son of he has a son who is a professional tennis player and another son who is a matador. You should click that link that I just sent you and just read the first couple paragraphs.
Okay, hold on one second.
I'll read it. Jorge Hank Run, 55, a flamboyant casino mogul known for collecting exotic animals, was held after soldiers descended on his sprawling compound in the city at 3:30 a.m. He was held on suspicion of illegal weapons possession after 40 rifles, 48 handguns, 9,298 bullets, 70 ammunition clips, and a gas grenade were discovered. He is a controversial self-proclaimed billionaire who often
Self-proclaimed billionaire.
Yeah, I know.
I like that. Okay.
Who often wears a red crocodile skin vest and ostrich skin boots and has 19 children. He owns the Tijuana football team, a racetrack, and a giant casino in the middle of the city. His vast compound includes a private zoo, which is home to rare tigers, bears, and elephants. It once had over 20,000 animals, five times as many as the famous San Diego Zoo over the border. Mr. Hank Rohn even bought the killer whale that starred in the Free Willy films. What? Yes, he is insane.
Wow.
Yes. His father is famous for coining the phrase, "If a politician is poor, he is a poor politician."
Okay.
So, watch Tijuana for the intrigue. The next team is Pumas. Absolutely outstanding youth development. They apparently adopted their colors in tribute to Notre Dame. They were originally an amateur club for students. I think I might like Pumas now, only because of all the Bolaño novels that I have read that take place on the UNAM campus. UNAM is a fairly selective university. It's a giant university in Mexico City. But I'm trying to think of an American equivalent, and I can't really. It'd be like if Stanford kind of had a giant professional soccer team.
Yeah, I think it's weird because our public-private university thing creates a sort of a gap. But in some ways, yeah, like one of the large public universities, maybe in another country.
Yeah.
You know, like Institute, or the Indian Institute of Technology or something like that. But yeah. I like Pumas too because I think their logo is one of the most dope soccer logos. And you and I have very disagreeing thoughts about badges, crests, and that sort of thing. But because I think that so many soccer crests just look like they're going to sell you insurance or invite you to a smoking club of some kind. And I dig Pumas. It's just, as the name suggests, just a puma, and it's awesome.
That your logic for liking the Pumas logo is because it's a Puma.
Because it doesn't look like they're going to sell you insurance, and it's like it looks like a superhero, you know.
Okay, I think it looks like a superhero who sells you really great insurance.
Sure. No,
But
yeah.
I also the Notre Dame connection. So there were some members of the Notre Dame staff that came down to UNAM and tried to start like an American football team down there. And so as I look at like the I'm looking at the Pumas jersey right the logo right now, and there's sort of like the design of the eyes and the nose also looks like a field goal for an American football field on American football field. So I'm wondering if that's intentional.
But regardless, Pumas, solid.
Yeah.
Okay.
Next
Next
team,
step.
Cruz Azul. I don't know why. I think I just always liked watching them when I was a kid. They always played really fast, fluid soccer. It's another Mexico City club. Anyone interesting, anyone sort of who follows European soccer will enjoy watching him this season because Caixinha, the former Rangers manager, is now at Cruz Azul, and he's raiding all of Rangers' sort of peripheral players and bringing them to Mexico City. The next team is Pachuca. Tigres won, Monterrey came second, but Pachuca arguably deserves to be in the sort of championship conversation. Made good off-season moves. Omar Gonzalez fans should already be watching Pachuca. It's where he plays. And if you want to be my final team is the only team that you should not support, which is Club America. Solas, team for Trump's, Chivas' biggest rivals.
All right, solid rundown there.
Yeah.
I think the big takeaway is Liga MX is awesome. We should also, for anyone who doesn't watch it, just kind of talk about the style of the league, is that it's a really technical league, and so it's fun to watch. It's a lot of just like fast, creative footwork kind of league. And
Anyone who enjoys a really good dive.
that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
And
sorry.
go ahead.
I was just
No,
going
go
to say
ahead,
going
please.
to, I mean, I think we said it before, but going to a Chivas game was one of like the best experiences of my sporting life.
I think it also really typifies, as we always talk about, I don't want to beat this dead horse, but
Yeah.
how just big the market for Liga MX really is in the United States. We went to that game, and in the days leading up to that game, we tried to buy some Chivas swag. And so we went to how many different soccer shops
I
in
don't know,
Milwaukee?
man. Yeah.
Like three or four. And they were all sold out of Chivas stuff because
Yeah.
Chivas was in town and everybody was just buying it off the shelves.
Yeah, and
And
that
there was just,
yeah.
there was no like, yeah, can you imagine like, oh, if any of the like sports in America just like selling out of everything off their shelves?
Yeah.
But that's the way it was.
Yeah, I mean, it's
That's
even like we called places. I mean, we physically went to four shops, but I remember calling a bunch of places as well. And everyone was just
And
like,
we went
no, we've
there,
been
and we
sold
were
out
like,
for weeks.
we asked them, do you have any Chivas gear? And they just laughed at
I
us.
know, yeah. And it's not
they're
just
like,
shirts,
no,
it's any gear whatsoever.
you need to have this figured out like a week ago.
Yeah. If our love of Chivas doesn't rub off on you, I understand. We're insufferable, but it's the team we love.
All right, speaking of international soccer and dives, I want to talk Serie A briefly. So I got in the
Okay.
mail, I ordered us some jerseys from Away Days Soccer, and I got in the mail a packet of Topps cards, or yes, or Score 1992 Serie A football cards.
Okay.
So I wanted to play a quick little game with you. These
Oh,
cards, so these cards, you know, they're like baseball cards,
no.
right? There are 15 cards in this pack of Serie A cards.
All right.
All right, I've got three questions for you.
Okay.
Of the 15 cards, how many of the players have their shirts tucked into their shorts?
What
This is
were
nine.
what were the
This
years again? Yeah.
is 1992 soccer in Italy. How many shirts are tucked into shorts?
And you have 15?
out of 15.
15.
14. Very close.
Was there a goalie or something?
No. No. The goalie is definitely fully done.
Damn.
Second question. Okay, so 14 out of 15 shirts tucked in. Mm-hmm. Second question. How many visible tattoos?
1992. Visible tattoos. None.
None. That is correct. Zero tattoos. Can you imagine? I mean, this is crazy.
Yeah.
Right?
That is absolutely insane.
No tattoos at all.
Mm-hmm.
And the last question. How many mullets?
Out of 15?
Yep.
I mean, even if you said how many mullets that are going on in, like, Milan right now out of 15 people, I'd say it's pretty high. How many mullets are in Serie A in 1992? 15? I'm going to say 12.
It's actually only 5.
What?
I know.
Oh, man. I didn't give them enough credit.
But you did pretty well. You pretty much nailed the other two questions.
Mm-hmm. I feel good about that.
And lastly, we put out a call on Twitter with a picture of Dax McCarty and Sasha Kleshin having a tender moment on the field. And we asked that we point out this is definitely the cover of some must-read fan fictions and asked people for some copy suggestions. So we wanted to read through a few of the things you guys sent us.
Yeah, I mean, I want to go into the photo a little bit more. Can you paint us a picture? What exactly is going on in that photo?
So I will say this. The two men, Sasha Kleshin and Dax McCarty, have locked gaze. McCarty's hand is brushing the side of Kleshin's face.
Mm-hmm.
A curl of McCarty's hair has fallen across his own brow.
Yeah.
And they look pre-embrace.
It looks like the moment where Sasha Kleshton's resistance to being kissed is about to be broken, and Dax McCarty is about to bring him down to his level for a smooch. It's really a nice photo.
It is.
I mean, both of them are married, but this would be the best MLS power couple.
This would be, if this image came up in your wedding slideshow, it would mm-hmm. be the moment everyone was like, aw.
Oh, I was. No, this is the moment where, like, people are bawling.
It really is tender.
All right, anyways. I'm staring into this photo and losing my thoughts. Anyway, so some of the best captions that we got. Benjamin at good old Ben says, "We will always have New Jersey." It's pretty good. I like this one. I don't think it quite works. This is Brooks Smith at Coax KE1. Oh, captain, my captain, now get out of here. It says insert Brooklyn accent, so that's what I did. It's because they were both captains of Red Bulls. John Howard at JNHoward78 says, Red Bulls gave us wings. That's pretty good. All right, so we have a three-part from MLS Aces podcast at MLS Aces. All right. A dark cloud of anger looms over the head of Sasha as he has recently heard the news of his trade. In an instant, he calls up an old friend who went through it only a year ago. Sasha begins to tell his good friend Dax about his frustration and anger, about what went on in Harrison, New Jersey. In that moment, he realized that Dax has been the only person there for him, and that he was in love. All of a sudden, waking up in a sweat and panic, an NYCFC fan is woken up from his sleep by his father shouting about the MLS schedule release. He runs downstairs, hiding his secret dream. That's great.
Solid work, MLS Aces.
Yeah, yeah. You have earned the aces in your podcast name for sure.
All right, that's all we have. For you guys this week, we've dried up the fan fiction well. Mm-hmm. But feel free to send us any more suggestions for that photo or other tender moments you find happening in American soccer.
Feel free to reach out to us at SoftTattooFC. And our email is softtattooedmillionaires@gmail.com.
Have a good week.
All right, see you guys later.